to our service. A couple announcements before we get started. This is going to be a communion service, so following the message, we'll do communion together. And I know it's a little strange doing it, but we still want you guys to participate. So you can pause it right now and get your stuff ready if you're not prepared. Another exciting announcement, we had a drive-in service last Sunday for about an hour in the back parking lot, and it was great. We had a time of music, a time of hearing from a couple people, from God's word. We're going to have another one this Sunday, and we're going to gear it towards the young people. We're going to gear it towards the Awana age kids. So if you know kids who are not regularly attending our church, which nobody is right now, obviously, but let them know we're going to do it the same way we did it last week. We're going to show up, and we're going to stay in our cars, but we're going to have it geared towards kids. But we also want you adults to come out and just support our programming. Awana is a huge part of our church and our ministry in the community, and we want as many people here as we can. We're going to stay in our cars like we did before, but it will be a little bit more interactive. We have horns. We can holler out the window. We're going to do our best to glorify God and to worship with one another. So with that said, let's turn to God's word. We are reading this morning from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today that we can be gathered in your name. Lord, we want you to speak to our hearts. God, we want you to point out those areas in us that aren't right. Lord, we want to live for you. We want to desire you. Most of all, we want to put our trust in you. Help us today, Lord. Help us to honor you and glorify you and lift your name on high. Lord, we just pray for Pastor Stan now as he comes up here, that he would be your vessel, Lord, that your spirit would move, Lord, that your words would flow from him. We just thank you for your love, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks again, Brian. Great to see you out there this morning. I know that I am thrilled, and it's such an opportunity to gather like this, even though we're restricted in so many ways. And I want you to know I'm doing better as we continue to grow through all of this. And I realize again that I have so much to be thankful for, and I just want all of us to give thanks this morning to God for all that he has done and is doing in our lives right now. We have food, we have shelter. Most of us are healthy, and so we do have a lot to thank God for. When I think of the message I'm going to give, and the title of my message is Pain, Suffering with Pain. And before I get to it, there's a saying that is quite popular in our world today. God will never give you more than you can handle. And I don't believe that, because God designs us to be dependent upon him. And that saying is saying, well, I can do it. I don't need God. We all need God. And I hope that you're finding out during this pandemic that we need him more than ever. And our country needs him more than ever. Because as Brian read, how blessed are the nations who trust in the Lord and people who put their trust in the Lord. And we do want to do that this morning. Well, from the time we are born until the time we die, we will all suffer pain. It might be physical, emotional, mental, or even spiritual. Pain comes to us in a number of ways. And so we're going to look at some of the ways that pain comes to us. The very first one that I have in my notes is that we inflict ourselves. Now, that may sound a little odd, but it's true. And you're going to see this word inflict, and what it means is that we do damage to ourselves. We hurt ourselves. And there's a law in the scriptures, and I want to read this law found in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I want to talk about how we inflict ourselves. First of all, our bodies. Some of you, and including me, don't always have good eating habits. And you know, if you eat what's white, meaning sugar, salt, and then fat, you're going to be unhealthy. And you're going to have complications with your health. And I think we all struggle in our culture to eat right. There's so many temptations out there. I don't know if you enjoy McDonald's, but one of the favorite things for me to eat from McDonald's is that breakfast sandwich that they have. I just really enjoy it. And I know it may not be the healthiest thing for me, but I still want to eat it. And I'm sure that you face many temptations too with your food and with your lifestyle as for what you eat or don't eat. We have other things that sometimes get a hold of us and they become addictions. And we inflict pain on ourselves. We think of alcohol. I know that there are those who struggle with it. And because they do, they have complications with their health. And I've counseled so many individuals about what they should do and shouldn't do with alcohol. I'm not here to coach you on this, but I do know this. If you drink excessively and if you get drunk, the scripture says you shouldn't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation or debauchery. Rather, you should be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I've seen the results of those who are addicted to alcohol, and it's devastating. It's devastating to their own bodies, and it's also devastating to their families and to their friends because it definitely has an impact on their behavior. We think, too, of what happens in our bodies when we exercise or we abuse ourselves physically. I'm a testimony to that. I played sports. I was addicted to sports in high school, and I played some college football. And so I got dinged a time or two. And now I'm suffering because of that. A doctor friend of mine said, he said, whatever hurt you or injured you when you were young is going to come back in the form of arthritis or bursitis. And guess what? I have them. And maybe you do too. And it's painful at times when I sit down and even get up. Things don't work the way they used to work because my body has been bruised and hurt. And now I'm suffering some of the consequences of that. Our minds, you've heard this phrase so often, garbage in, garbage out. Again, we live in a culture where there's so much garbage, and we have to be so careful about what we allow to go into our minds. Because if we don't, it's going to have a great impact on what we think. And then we think of our spiritual lives, and we realize again, one of the greatest problems in our country right now is pornography. And addiction is so powerful to so many men and even women. Again, garbage in, garbage out. And if you sow to the flesh, the scripture says you're going to reap corruption. The law of sowing and reaping in Galatians 7 and 8, it's very powerful. So I want to encourage you this morning to sow to what is healthy, to what is right. And allow God's word to dictate your behavior. God has given us clear instructions in his word, what will hurt us and what will help us. He's even given us a diet, what we should eat and shouldn't eat. And I know if you follow some of his suggestions, you will be healthier in your heart, in your body, and in your mind. Now there's another area that inflicts us with pain. And that is when others inflict pain on us. And I find this in 2 Timothy 4, verse 14. And I want to give you a context here This is Paul's last letter that he's writing to Timothy, and he's about ready to be martyred. Eventually, he's going to be taken out to an island. He's going to have his head chopped off, and he's going to be with the Lord. And he's writing this letter to Timothy and exhorting Timothy to finish the race as he himself is finishing the race and fighting the good fight. And we read in verse 9 this of 2 Timothy 4. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Sessens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I have left for Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. He mentions Alexander. And when you go back into the book of Acts, chapter 19, you will notice that there was this big riot taking place at Ephesus. Big uproar in the city, because Ephesus had this great god Diana there. And they were quite concerned about her temple. And Paul went into Ephesus and began to preach the gospel and stir things up, which he did a lot. He was preaching the gospel, and there were individuals responding to the message, some Jew and some Gentiles. But Alexander was a Jew, and while this riot was going on, they wanted him to step up and say something. Now, he never had the opportunity because things quieted down, and he just seemed to fade away. So we don't know exactly the harm that he did to Paul. But there are some speculations, and this is what I found as I searched in the scriptures, and as I searched some commentaries. And this comes from Gill's commentary. He suggests that Alexander had done great injury to Paul's character and had reproached and reviled him as a man of bad principles and practices. He was slandering Paul, hurting him, not physically, but hurting his reputation. And I realize that all of us sometimes are hurt by others. In my life, I've been hurt many times by others. And what happens to us when we're hurt by others and they've inflicted pain upon us is that sometimes we get hard-hearted towards others and we don't forgive. We don't let go. I like what Paul said as he was talking about Alexander. He said, yeah, he's hurt me. May the Lord repay him. Paul didn't want to take things into his own hands and try to repay him evil for evil. He said, the Lord will deal with him. And I've learned over the course of my ministry that when individuals attack me or come at me and try to hurt me, I'll let the Lord deal with it. I just want to make sure my heart is in the right place, that it doesn't get hard, and I don't want revenge. Rather, I want to give it to the Lord and say, Lord, you deal with it and help me be the follower that I should be as I continue to look to you for direction in my life. We all have issues sometimes with others. Paul was also beaten up many times. When you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you will read that Paul was whipped 5 times by the Jews. 39 minus 1, because they would never whip you 40 times. It was always only 39. 5 times he was whipped. 3 times he was beaten with rods. 1 stoned. So Paul knew what it was like to be hurt by others because they inflicted pain upon him. So I don't know if you're where you are right now and if someone has hurt you, hopefully not someone in this church. Sometimes Christians can beat up other Christians, and what a tragedy when you think about that. In my experience as a pastor, I've had individuals say to me, why don't I want to go to church? And I say, well, church is a good place to be. There are people there that will love you and care for you. And this individual said to me, no, not in my experience. He said, I was actually beaten up in a church. And I'm not saying physically. What I'm saying is emotionally and mentally, this individual was beaten up by a church family. And that shouldn't be. Unfortunately, there are churches that do that. And I pray our church will never hurt anyone, that we will always love them and accept them and forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. Now, there's a third area where pain is inflicted on us, and it's by aging. Now, I know that some of you are young. Well, I'm more of a senior citizen now than I've ever been. Next month, or I should say, is it May? Yeah. Next month in June 27th, I will turn 68. And so I know some of you out there are saying, well, that's still a kid. No, I'm not still a kid. I have more in common with those who are older now than those who are younger. I am a senior citizen, and I say that proudly because I'm on Medicare. And it's a wonderful thing to have as you age because there are a lot of aches and pains in life, as you well know. I'm going to read a context to you because this is important for us to understand as we get older that these things do happen to us. Therefore, this is from 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Now, this word perishing can also be translated decaying. And I said this to an elderly man once. I said, do you know that your body is decaying? He looked at me and he said, Pastor, I don't like the sound of that. He said, can't you put another word in place of that word? And I said, well, perishing, decaying, how about rotting? He said, I don't like that word either. But the truth is, as we get older, our bodies are aging and they're falling apart. They're not what they were when we were younger. And I'm a testimony of that as I stand before you. Last week, I went out and I tried some golfing, and I didn't loosen up like I should have. I didn't stretch out like I should have stretched out. I started swinging the club, and oh, the next day I could hardly get out of bed. Things hurt. Now, that's just swinging a golf club, so I'm in tough shape sometimes. As I stand before you right now, I have a little pain in my back. You know, I have pain in my neck. I have pain in my shoulders. I have pain in my knee. You might say, well, am I a hypochondriac? No. I'm just trying to be honest with you. Things hurt, and they don't work the way they used to work. And that's what happens to us as we age. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Isn't that exciting? I remember this elderly woman saying to me, and she must have been in her 90s. She said this. She said, Pastor, it may look on the outside that things are falling apart, but I want you to know on the inside I feel like a kid. I said, really? I said, looks are deceiving. She said, yes, they are. But that's true. Even though the outward shell, our house, is fading away. When I go into nursing homes, I remind many of the elder that I want you to know my roof is leaking. My siding is sagging, and my foundation is cracked. Other than that, I'm doing fairly well. And they immediately identify with that because they know it's not easy to get old. We hear this phrase so often, you know, growing old is not for wimps. It's not for those who can't deal with it because things fall apart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? We're getting closer to getting our glorified body. I can hardly wait. And I know I have a few years left in this body, and I'm doing the best I can to take care of it. But because of my behavior when I was young, and even in my middle age, I did things maybe I shouldn't have done. I abused myself physically. I'm receiving the law of sowing and harvest, and that is that I have issues in my body. And I'm not going to stand up here and complain all morning, because you'd say, are you an old person complaining and whining all the time? No, I'm not that. I'm just trying to be truthful to you about what's happening with me. So, we look forward. A light affliction is only for a moment. Do you know how Life is so short. It's called the brevity of life. It's like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away, according to James. And we realize that that is true as we get older. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, because we're going to be with him one day, and that's where we're going to live forever. I can hardly enter into that concept. Forever and ever, we're going to have a new body, and I know I'm looking forward to that. And I just pray for God's grace to help me get through this life with the body I have. Keep your eyes on eternal things, not just on the temporary things, because you can become so discouraged with the temporal things that they can overwhelm your joy and rob you of your joy. Keep your eyes on Christ, who is the source of joy. Think about him as he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the majesty on high. Isn't it wonderful that we have a Savior who is there now, and we will be there one day with him too. So, when aging inflicts pain on us, and it does that as we age. And then the last one I have is when disease inflicts pain on us, and I want to read from 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 9. There's a little bit of discussion going on here about what Paul was experiencing, and I have my opinion. And I know that there are commentators who have theirs. So I'm going to read for you 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, for our trouble, now this word can be translated affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. There are some commentators who say that Paul and his companions were probably facing an arena full of wild animals, and they were under that sentence of death, being eaten and consumed by wild beasts. And there are others who feel that, no, it was a pandemic. It was something that was a disease that was inflicting their bodies. And I happen to believe the latter, that it was some type of disease that had hit them, and they despaired of life. In fact, they thought they were dying, but they knew that God could raise them from the dead. And so their hope was not just in this life, but also the next life. I think sometimes when we look at what's happening today, that there's a great fear out there and a great concern. But I also believe that God can overrule whatever we are experiencing, and that we as, again, followers of Christ have the most hope of anyone in this world. That we can look to Christ and trust in Christ to get us through this. That we can trust in God, and God will help us through it. And he will give us what we need as we endure this time of pandemic. Paul was afflicted in many ways, just like we are. And that's one thing I love about the Word of God, is that when you read through it, you do see that we can identify with it because it's real. And nothing is really hidden. It's all there in the open for us to grasp and to understand. And Paul's life is like an open book. He's just so willing to share what his experiences were. And we can identify with them. And we can understand if God was faithful to Paul, God will be faithful to us as well. Sometimes we mess up because we inflict ourselves, just as a review here. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Other times, people hurt us. That's reality. Sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes it's not intentional. And so we understand that when we're dealing with others, even in the context of a church, we want to treat one another with respect. And we want to love one another as Christ has loved us. It doesn't mean we don't want to speak truth, but what it means is we want to phrase the truth in love, because we understand how important it is that we don't hurt and inflict pain on someone else. As we get older, things don't work the way they used to, and we have a lot of pain. And when disease inflicts us, that also can be very painful. And we do have, again, individuals all over the country right now who are struggling with this virus. We want to pray for them. I believe we're getting over this. I would like to see us meeting right now, because I believe we're moving forward, not backwards with this. And I believe we're going to be meeting together very, very soon as we see this take a turn for the good. The coronavirus is a natural evil. And I want you to remember this because this is so important. Under God's providential control. See, God's still in control. He's on the throne. But whose existence is a result of original sin. And that is so true. Where did this virus come from? I understand that is part of the curse that we're all dealing with. The root of all human pain and suffering in the world is a rebellion of our first parents. Now you might say, Adam and Eve, why did you goof up? Well, we were there, remember? They were our representatives in the garden. All that we could be is what they were. A rebellion that Christ conquered on the cross. And that's our hope. Because Christ came to us. He went to the cross. He died for us. And because of his death on the cross, we can have spiritual healing, which is the most important for all of us, is to be healed spiritually, to come to know Christ as our Savior, and to trust completely in him for our salvation. And I hope that you've done that. I hope you've placed your trust in Christ and not just in man. Now, with all of that said, I think I need to let you know that when I do have pain, I go to the doctor. Well, some would say, well, Pastor, just pray about it, and God will heal you. Well, God may choose to heal me. He may choose not to heal me. I don't dictate to God what he's going to do. And I've had a number of issues in my life, and I have asked God to heal me. Jesus, would you please heal me? But he didn't heal me miraculously. But I was able to go to a doctor, and through the doctor, I had healing. And I'm so thankful for doctors and for those who are serving right now, our nation, in areas that are difficult, and they're susceptible to the disease just like everyone else, but they're there. God has called them into this ministry of caring for others. And I'm also thankful when I look back at all the pain that I've had in my life that there is relief. You say, how do doctors give you relief? Well, there's something called operation, replacing parts. And I have some replacements on me. And I'm thankful for that because it's allowed me to be free of a lot of pain. I know that there are others who have operations and they're still dealing with a lot of pain. It hasn't cured them. But we also have what we call medication. We have drugs, and properly used, they can help us deal with pain. And I've had painkillers in my life. Maybe you have. And maybe you're taking some right now. And I'm thankful that God has allowed that technology to develop, that we can actually go to a doctor and receive help when it comes to managing pain. I was in the hospital last year here in Bemidji, and as I was looking at the wall in front of me, it had a chart. And on the chart, it had the pain level from 1 to 10. And I remember a nurse coming in, and her question was something like this, how are you doing managing your pain? Where are you on the chart? And I said, well, I'm doing fairly well. I'm probably a 4 or a 3. And she would say, well, do you need something for it? And I would say, no, I think I'm okay. Well, I can remember one morning, a nurse came in, and she again asked me, how are you doing on your pain management? I said, I think I need something. And she was able to give me something. And what a relief it was to have that relief from pain. Pain is difficult. I mean, pain destroys us. And I realize as I stand here before you that maybe you're suffering a great deal of pain right now. So what do we do as Christians when we suffer pain? Well, we pray and we ask God to help us through it. And then I think we have doctors there to support us and to help us too. To me, it's not an either-or proposition. I think God has given us doctors, and I'm thankful that I live in the United States because I think we have the best medical institution or group out there to help us, and they're willing to do that. So thank you. All you doctors and nurses right now, thank you for helping our country deal with pain and helping us get through this. We're going to go to the Lord's table, and I think it's important for us that we do that because this is something we want to remember our Savior. He's the reason why we're here. We believe his word, and we believe that he died for us, and this is what we call a memorial in a sense. Jesus is here. Jesus is always present. Not in these elements necessarily, as some would believe, but these elements that we're going to partake of represent and symbolize his body and his blood. So if you would like to take at home a piece of bread, and if you have a glass, and it doesn't really matter what's in that glass, if it's grape juice or if it's some other type of juice, we're doing this to celebrate and remember our Savior and to thank him for dying for us. So if you'll take some bread, we find recorded in God's word that Paul received from the Lord that he delivered to the Corinthians on the same night in which Christ was betrayed. He took bread after supper. He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for loving us enough to lay down your life for us. We thank you that we can be part of your church family. We're thankful that we can look to you through all of our pain. Lord Jesus, you are the great physician. We recognize that. You came and demonstrated your healing power. So we are thankful that we can call upon you in our time of pain. And we're also aware, Lord, that you direct us to doctors and nurses. We thank you for them as well. So, Lord, we give you praise and thanksgiving this morning, again, for all that you've done for us. And we thank you. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts that we will, again, be able to be somewhat normal. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.